Hello and welcome to this latest of the Spotlights Business Spotlight series. And I'm delighted today to be joined by Steve Birdsall from GAIST. Hi, Steve. How are you today?
Hi, Rob. Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you. Yeah, thank
you. Good. Thank you for joining me today to get some background on yourself and your business. So with that in mind, could you give us a bit of background on the business and yourself and, you know, how you've been, you know, how you got going and how long you've been going for, et cetera, that kind of stuff?
Okay. Right. Well, the business is, we're not new. We've been around for close to 15 years now, I believe. So we're not a new kid on the block by any stretch. We've been, you're going to edit this, aren't you?
Mm.
Yeah. So the prime business essentially is to record the streetscape for our clients. So what does that mean, recording the streetscape? So, well, as you know, everything pretty much happens by a road. We drive on them, we go to holiday on them, we do our business on them, mm-hmm. we live next to them. Even in more rural areas, we need roads to support farming, etc. So roads are an important piece of infrastructure. And what we do is we survey basically all that you can see around the road, what we call the roadscape. And our clients being network operators like local government, the other stakeholders in highways, such as utility companies, the maintaining contractors, the government, indeed, mm-hmm. and other aspects of how we use roads, such as 4G, 5G deployment. That's all done by the road. So right. We supply data to quite a broad church of different companies mm-hmm. that are interested in what is happening on and around the roads.
Okay. And so you said you started about 15 years ago. How did the business start? What was the reason for setting it up? Maybe a bit of background yeah. yourself as well.
Sure. Well, going back some time, I was the operations director of a road surveying company.
Right. And
prior to that, I'd worked in railway, and I came into highways fairly new, really, with a fairly fresh view on things. And I noticed that the way that we were surveying roads was hadn't changed literally for tens of about 20 years. It was a really quite a traditional way of doing things. And I recognized that clients, which were the network operators, the local councils that run the roads, really the kind of data they were using was pretty poor, if I'm honest. They didn't give them the answers they needed to make the kind of key decisions they make in terms of their investment into highways. And I spotted a bit of a gap in the market, if you like, and established GAIST as a company that was really out there to collect better data and really make life easier for clients to do their day job, which is maintaining the roads, as you can imagine, repairing them, fixing potholes, resurfacing. And it started from there. We used a new form of road surveying, which involved imagery. Prior to that, it was very laser-borne survey from big trucks that are fitted with lots of very expensive equipment. Right. I helped build and manage them, so I understood how that worked. But I saw that there was a more agile way that we could do that, and was using cameras. And we invested into that technology, and we grew from there. We had started off with a few clients, and then they were happy with what we did. They told their mm-hmm. Their peers in other councils, and basically the company grew from word of mouth initially. And we expanded out the Northwest, and we're now doing work all around the world.
Fantastic. Great. So, yeah, a great example of spotting that, that opportunity and from your background and taking that and moving forward. So just so we can understand a little bit more, when the clients use the information, what are they looking for from you how do they utilize that information on a day-to-day basis or?
Okay. Well, our clients' day job is to fix the roads and keep them safe mm-hmm. and maintain them and get the best performance out of their road network for the money. That's our core clients. We do other things as well for other people, but our core business is with local authorities. And they essentially, we go out and survey the road and we provide them with intelligence as to what condition the road is in, what material is it made from, the kind of defects that are out there. So, for example, our competitors can tell our clients that they've got cracking in their road surface. We can tell them to within 15 different types of cracks. So we're right. much more detailed and much more accurate in terms of the data that we supply. And that accuracy allows us to model the effect of maintenance and what the return on investment would be, what the rate of deterioration is. Now, to do that, we use our own technology, cameras I mentioned before, and how we analyze those images is quite advanced. But we also pull other information in these days as well. We take data from connected cars. So there are literally millions of cars out there feeding information back live to manufacturers. And we can tap into some of that data and determine things about how the road surface is changing, the roughness of the road, the friction available on the road surface. Some quite extraordinary things now we can tell from the data coming back from cars. So we blend all that together,
right,
and we create this sort of body of data, if you like, or information that allows us to guide our clients as to what bits of the road need the maintenance. What bits can last a bit longer, perhaps, where it's unsafe, etc. And it helps them deploy what money they have available to fix the roads. And that's our day. That's our core business. We do other things, but that's our core business.
Okay, interesting. So, and I think you mentioned slightly there, but I guess in the 15 years, technology has kind of changed significantly. What you can do with that information, like what you can do with that now, would that be a fair?
Yeah, it's changed. It's been, I guess, road surveying is quite an interesting. It's an interesting domain, really. It's been very much a prescribed methodology that's had all sorts of standards and accreditation wrapped around it, which is, to some degree, has stopped that the innovation in that sector, because there are a prescribed way of doing things that hasn't changed when technology has. We decided to do things quite differently. We to a large degree ignore the guidance around that, but we decided to take our own interpretation of that and develop our own technologies, which is slightly different from the norm, right, which in some ways has given us a head start over our competition. But there is new technologies coming in now. AI is opening up all sorts of different opportunities or technologies, if you like, that can go out there. There are mobile phones that you can buy, apps that could, to some degree, video the road or image of the road surface and do some analysis. But there's still a long way behind us in terms of the level of detail and accuracy that we go to. So we're very much at the premium end of the market really now. So there are, as I say, new technologies coming in, but it's not just about the technology. It's about the domain knowledge that you have to have as well. So we need to understand how roads are financed, how they're made, how they're maintained, what the safety implications are for certain defects, what policies as well, how we're using road, active travel, low emission zones, net zero, all of these things factoring into how we manage road networks. Quite a complex operation, actually.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, it's probably the world's biggest infrastructure, and it's certainly the world's most important.
Yeah.
And you need to understand how that all fits together and works. So it's all right coming up with technology, but you need to have the professional services, if you like, to go behind all of that to help the clients understand what to do with that data.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, no, absolutely. So that's where you come into that kind of, and you know, you talk about your kind of uniqueness is from the data and that, but knowledge as well. Would you say that was, you know, your kind of?
Yeah, we're not unique in terms of understanding how roads work and how the industry ticks, I guess. But what we are, I guess, very good at is fusing that knowledge together with quite high-end technology. As I say, pretty much anybody can design an app that will identify some cracking or some potholes on a road. I mean, that's not a difficult thing these days. But what do you do with that? And how accurate is that? You know, we're making predictions about how roads will perform 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now.
Right, okay.
If the data was less than, you know, less than accurate, then obviously any prediction that you try and make from that will be even more inaccurate.
Yeah, of course.
So we pride ourselves up in terms of the level of detail and accuracy that we can provide our customers so that we can make those longer term and robust predictions about what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That makes sense. Absolutely. Very, very interesting. You know, looking at that from a very different perspective, something you don't really think about. You're just driving along day to day. You don't really think about all the background and the amount of work that goes into trying to maintain the road systems and the infrastructure. Because, you know, as you say, clearly they're they're vital for everything, the economy and you know.
So you're right, Rob, and it's a massive challenge for our clients now because they've got no less roads, but they have a lot less money.
Mm.
Obviously, public services are being hit hard in terms of trying to find cost savings, etc. Mm. The cost of materials and labour and the services they have to buy in is obviously increasing as well. So the challenges for them is to get the biggest bang for their buck. They can't fix everything all at once. And that's really where we come in and try and help, which is to focus them onto parts of the network that are really in need of maintenance. So they can get the most return on that investment.
Yeah, of course.
On where they can get the maximum amount of safety out of that. It's a real challenge for them. And as I say, data is helping them overcome that. But of course, there's no substitute for having enough money. But sadly, that's not the case at the moment.
Cool. Okay, great. So moving on to the journey from a business perspective. So you obviously set up 15 years ago and you started the business. How has that grown over those 15 years? You mentioned kind of starting Northwest and now kind of global, I think you said, which is fantastic. How did that work over those years? What, you know, where did that growth come from? And
Well, it was a challenge, like all businesses. You know, from we started around the kitchen table, my wife and I, right at the beginning. It was just myself essentially as the first employee, and we built from there, and we financed that largely from cash flow. So we were having, you know, essentially to save up from one job to the next, and we steadily built a workforce, invested into equipment, etc. We got involved with the knowledge transfer project at KTP with the University of York early on.
Right,
and that was really beneficial in terms of trying to get some of the technology and skills into the business. And in fact, our CTO was a postgrad, postdoctorate that came across to the company after that research work finished. So that was a real boost in terms of the technology and the sort of technical capability of the business, I guess, if you want to put it that way.
Sure.
And as I said, we steadily grown from there. Now, about 5 years ago, we decided to buy the Bullet and to take some investment in from, in fact, our investor, which is still with us today, is BGF, the Business Growth Fund.
Right.
And they've been with us quite a while now. And a very good investor indeed. You know, they've supported us through our growth journey.
Mm.
And we're probably, as a business, probably going to look for some further investment over this next year or two to continue that growth. Now, we, as you pointed out, we are working overseas. We've done work in Japan, in Africa, and literally in the next week or two, we're going to start our first piece of work in the US.
Oh, wow.
All other pieces of work in Mexico and France and a few other places around the world. But Australia is also a market we're opening up. Excuse me. And I think going forward, certainly Australia, Japan, or the wider Asian area, and America will be the core countries that we're serving as a business, which we're quite excited about. But our core business is here in the UK. We're going to concentrate on that. And as I say, when we get the investment, we'll invest into these other markets. But there's certainly enough growth left in the UK for us to keep going.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, it's fantastic to hear the story from, you know, like I say, starting as you did around the kitchen table, as you mentioned, and now you're talking about, you know, looking at these various global markets. It's, you know, fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean,
building the business up like that.
Like all small businesses, though, it wasn't without its pain.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, we financially and in all sorts of, you learn a lot. I've been director of a business for a long time, but you really learn the lessons when you sat in the seat yourself and you're faced with all these competing pressures. And we've had to go through COVID, of course, and one thing and another. It's never without its challenges. But I guess that's what makes running a business what it is. You know, it is challenging, isn't it? But it can be massive. It can be great fun. Sometimes, you know, I have the best job in the world, and sometimes I have the worst job in the world. Yeah. I guess that comes with the territory. But I think as a company, we're quite, I guess the best word is expeditionary. You know, we don't sit still. We're always trying new things, trying new territories, trying to push the barrier a little bit, try and be different, and just, you know, which is you've got to balance that with, you know, your core business and getting the revenues established and repeating. But, you know, we don't sit still. We're always trying to push the boundary in terms of technology and where we're working, et cetera. And that keeps it fun.
Yeah, so kind of pioneering in a lot of ways in terms of what you're trying to do.
Yeah. We're not, you know, not trying to change the world, but we're certainly trying to push the boundaries in terms of the business that we're in. And whether our clients recognise that or not, I'm sure. But we'll see. But certainly we've definitely got a reputation for being in front in terms of the our capabilities and what we're doing around research and development, certainly within our own sector.
Sure.
Which that's testament to all the hard work of the team. It's not, you know, I've got a lot of people who work very hard to do that.
Cool. And you mentioned the team there, so it'd be interesting to see. So when you bring people in, can you give us an idea of the size of the business? How many people are in the business?
Yeah, in the UK we're 55, but around the world we're about probably best part 200. Oh. We have our own offices in India, actually, where we've historically done quite a lot of our data processing, and we're using that office now as a bridge into India and the Asian market there.
Fantastic.
Which I probably forgot to mention. But yeah, we've been working closely with our colleagues there for a number of years. So that accounts for quite a large number of our headcount. Mm. But in the UK, 55, and that goes up and down depending on projects.
Sure.
But we expect over the next few years probably to double that with some of the plans that we've got on board. So we're going to continue quite an aggressive growth curve, I think, over the next 2 to 3 years, which as we revolutionise what we are doing and try new things.
Okay. And when it comes to building the team and what kind of, you know, how do you look, or what qualities do you look for people when they come into that, you know, when you're looking to bring people into the business, what's important to you in terms
of... Well, certainly what's important is teamwork, first and foremost. I think, I'm an ex-soldier, if you go back far enough, that's how I started on my first ever job. And then I actually worked offshore on ships, where teamwork was a huge part of a huge attribute, if you like, of people involved in that. And I think that's something that is certainly very precious to me, and I think to the rest of the team, is that we all have to work well together. Because like I said, everything's a challenge. Eh? I mean, we live in a world that's changing literally by the minute.
Yeah.
Which it never comfortable, you know, look what's happening to the economy, global markets alter, technology changes, AI is revolutionising all sorts of different sectors. So, you know, you've got to be on your toes. And I think certainly having a team that's agile but works well together, you know, we want to avoid, there's enough friction out there with us creating our own internally. So we have to get on, we have to work well. And also, I think when I talk about teamwork, I think we should also extend that to our clients. And I think that might be one of the secrets of our success, is that we include our clients in that team.
Yeah.
They're not an add-on. That, you know, we work closely with them, we communicate well with them, and if we've got a problem, you know, we throw a book at it, try and put that right, and we try and include them in our ethos of teamwork as well. So teamwork, I think, and obviously depending on what job they're doing, of course, there'll be that technical expertise in that field, but I think for me, it's the ability for them to sit in a team, get on well with the people already there, and then contribute to it and grow as well, and not be frightened of making mistakes as well. I think
that's interesting.
You know, we the business is where it is because it made some pretty horrendous mistakes and it learned from it early.
Yeah,
you know, it's not a time to start making mistakes when you're a lot bigger and obviously the stakes are higher. But I think that's also the same for people professionally as well. You know, we want them to challenge themselves, push the boundary a little bit, make a few mistakes because that's where they learn. We have a culture that you know allows for that. You know, we expect people to make mistakes. If they're not making mistakes, they're not challenging themselves or pushing the boundaries to some degree. Obviously, we don't have too many.
No, of course.
But enough to learn from and to keep maturing and growing and becoming better at what we do.
How hard is that for you? I mean, I think you're absolutely spot on. I think, you know, that allowing people to take on accountability, responsibility, take some ownership for what they're doing as well. But you then need to allow that, you know, that sometimes that's not always going to be right. You know what I mean? But when it's your business, how was that a challenge when you first started, or did you find that quite easy because you understood
this? Yeah, quite easy, I suppose, in a way. I mean, if I was sat here, having had, you know, like 30, 40 years in business without making a mistake, then I'd probably expect, you know, everybody else not to make a mistake. But It's not realistic. And obviously, we when we say mistakes, you know, we're not making catastrophic mistakes.
No,
you know, but no, I think if you give people the responsibility, if you give them latitude to, you know, expand and to explore things, yes, we'll have some errors here and there. But as I say, for me, it's quite important that we have people that feel they've got the breathing space. Is that the right word? You know, the space to explore and challenge us as a business and themselves. And if that means that we make an odd mistake here and there, then I think that's a small price to pay. Sure. Obviously, what we don't want is some big mistakes. And I think if you do, you know, if you've got professional, you've got the right procedures in place, which we've developed now. We've got ISO accreditation for a number of things.
Yeah.
So we've matured our systems up. And as long as people work within that, then I think you're protected from anything massive.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, at the same time, we don't want to make work for people too sterile. We want people to be able to enjoy what they do, challenge themselves, and explore the work that they're doing. And hope that it's never, you know, we're not perfect.
No.
We don't get it right all the time. But I hope people feel within this business that that is possible for them.
Yeah, fantastic. No, very, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with the way to, you know, build a business is, you know, everyone feels part of that business, and the way to do that is the communication, the teamwork, and the team spirit. I think, you know,
absolutely.
You always get much more productivity from people, and yeah, ownership is a big way of doing that. So no, really interesting. Yeah, really, especially with your background as well, you know, before business, understanding the importance of that fully is obviously is key. So looking back over your kind of 15 years of business, and obviously even before then, maybe what would be, you know, maybe your best bit of advice, or some bit of advice for a younger person who's going to start thinking about running their own business or starting up on their own? What would be your kind of best advice for them?
Yeah, don't worry about it. I mean, because the biggest thing that stops people starting a business is worrying.
Yep.
You know, it's a challenge. I mean, it's a roller coaster.
Mm.
But there's a lot of reward if you get that right. And and I think certainly in this country now, I think if you fail, it's no big deal if you start again. I think in the past that it was perhaps a bit more difficult, but I think we've got more of a mentality now where we particularly having come through COVID, where a lot of businesses have failed through that. We accept that not all businesses will make it, but unless you try, you never know. And just keep going, I think, is the other thing. It's very difficult running a business unless you're very lucky and you've got plenty of money. And you know, starting a business from scratch is really difficult. I did it. We had two young children, but you know, we had a mortgage to pay and everything, all of the usual drama.
Sure.
And sometimes it's really tough, and you know, you don't want to get out of bed in the morning, but you just got to keep going and just keep battering on day after day, and you get wins. And you running a business like snakes and ladders, eh? There's ladders there.
Yeah.
They can get you to the top quite quickly, but if you're not careful, you hit a snake and you back down a couple of levels.
Yeah, sure.
And that's how business is. And again, unless you're very lucky, I've not met many people who've had a plane sailing all the way through.
Of course.
I meet with a lot of CEOs and they say the same things. You know, it's tough.
Mm.
And maybe it's the soldier in me, I don't know, but you know, I just used to just keep going. You've got to be tenacious.
Yeah.
And tenacity, and you know, not be fearless. There's things that you should worry about, but you know, what's the worst that can happen? Give it a go and work out and just don't give up. Even when things look pretty bleak.
Yeah.
You know, you can get through that. If you've got good customers, you'd be surprised, I think, how much customers play a part. If you've got, depending on what business you're in, of course, but we've had some tremendous customers, very loyal. And they've really supported the business where they can, particularly in the early days.
Right.
So, you know, just, yeah, but I think the big one is just have the tenacity. First try it, just do it.
Yeah. You
know, don't wait. Just do it. If you've got a good idea, go for it. Obviously, you've got to do your planning. Obviously, you've got to get the plan right. You can't, you know, don't be reckless. But as soon as you feel ready, start. Expect a rough ride because there's going to be one.
Yeah.
But just keep going. And eventually, things will, you know, incrementally, very slowly, things will start to drop into place. And you know, all going well, you'll find that ladder. You might try and avoid the snakes. But you'll get there then.
Yeah. No, it seems, yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, loads of great, great bits of advice. I think the growth thing is really interesting because people, when they look at growth, they tend to, you know, if you look back, you go, well, we've grown, and you look at a very straight line in terms of the growth. But if you actually looked at your, to your point, it's all very wavy as you go up that ladder. As long as, yeah. But yeah, and it's yeah, the resilience I think is critical when you're not having a great time, you know, yeah. Especially when you first start up. It's,
no, it's never easy, Rob. And as I said, I've spoken to a lot of CEOs, and no matter, and don't forget, a lot of PR plays a big part in things looking smooth for everybody.
Of course,
but no, it's all businesses, no matter what they are, find a challenge somewhere, and particularly new ones, of course.
Great. No, some great advice. Thanks for that, Steve. That's really, 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 really helpful. So fine, just a couple of other points. Be interested to know what inspires you, or what inspires you on, you know, when at the moment, or what has inspired you in the past in terms of whether it be people or businesses or whatever, to what you've achieved so far.
My biggest inspiration comes from the people who work with us, if I'm honest. You know, the energy and some of the ideas from the people that we've got is great. You know, I have a great top team. You know, I've got Tim and Stephen who work with me.
Mm.
They're brilliant. And that, I guess that's where I get my inspiration from. And also our clients, you know, they you know, like I said, some of them are really up against it day to day. You know, they have a really challenging job in public sector, particularly around highways. It's a bit of a Cinderella service, and they're having to do a lot with a little.
Yeah.
And to see how it, you know, imaginative they're having to be and how much resilience they're having to show.
Sure.
It's a bit of an inspiration. But I think day to day, I think that it's the team. I'm close to 60 now, many years before I retire.
Right.
And what I'm looking at day to day now, the people will be running this business, you know, after I've moved on. And, you know, it makes me feel good because it's full of talent. I can look out of my office now and I can see some brilliant people. So in short answer is the people that I work with, my inspiration.
Brilliant. That's great to hear. I mean, and you know, a constant source as well. You just, yeah, you know, like I say, just turn up into the office and feel the energy and build it. Yeah, that's really, really.
I should also put my family in that as well.
Yeah.
You know, because let's remember why we, you know, I'm Chef on Cat's Food for everybody, but I'm in business to provide for my family. And, you know, I've got a fantastic wife who supported me all the way through all of the ups and downs that we've just spoken about. She's also working in the business in sales, and she's doing a great job. But then also my children, they're just about to go to university, et cetera. The way that they're taking life on now, and it's probably more challenging for them at their age than it certainly was for me at my age.
Yeah.
They've got lots to worry about. But they, you know, they've got the energy and they're taking it on. And I guess that's a source of inspiration as well. But certainly, so what I guess I'm saying is the young people around me, both my family and those in the company.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect. Great stuff. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, yeah, some great people, yeah, great sources of inspiration to, especially when, you know, those down, you know, when you're having the tough times, it's when you've got people around you, you know, you can rely and support you, then that makes a world of difference. In those situations, so you know, some fantastic thoughts on that. And then finally, just what we'd like to give opportunity to just, you know, anything you want to update on the, you know, you mentioned about the growth and stuff, but anything you want to mention else regarding your business as it is at the moment?
As I said, I think we are set to continue the growth with that. Again, you know, growth doesn't come without pain, does it? And I guess that's where the word growing pains come from.
Sure.
Certainly true in business. So we've still got that, you know, we've still got a fight ahead of us to grow and to gain market share and to invent new things and you know, disrupt our market and other markets we're going into.
Sure.
So that's really keeping us occupied. I think, like I mentioned, we are set our sights on other countries. We're doing some work, as I say, in Australia and America. That's going to become more and more part of my day job, is to look after, you know, a plan for those territories.
Yeah.
So it's business as unusual, I suppose. You know, it's not, there's no such thing as usual business anymore. So it's business as unusual, and we'll just keep reacting to the challenges that get thrown to us, but really try and turn them into opportunities, and you know, and keep the business going and growing.
Perfect. Great stuff. And then finally, just if anyone's interested in finding a bit more about you or the business, the website, just want to give us a quick, you know, what's the domain?
So the website is www.gaist, which is GAIST.co.uk. And yeah, you'll find it's a great website. There's lots of information on there. And you're more than welcome to visit it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for your time today, Steve. It's
thank
been
you, Rob.
To hear about you and the journey, and congratulations on what you've achieved so far, and you know, good luck in what you've got planned for the future. It sounds really exciting, and you know, wish you all the best.
Okay, thanks, Rob. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Cheers, then.